know that Liberty University and Centra Health have already sent some medical supplies. We found that out on yesterday. Franklin Graham is working on some projects and also gleaning for the world. So there are a number of different areas that we will be discussing how we can help out wherever the need is. So if you want, if you feel led to give, then please do so. You may do so through the church or you can give individually. But however you give, let us do what we can to help those who've suffered, that God might bless them and help them through their time of need. Amen. Also, today is Team Spirit Sunday. And I didn't have, I was looking for a Milwaukee Brewers cap baseball. And the only thing I could find was the Mets. And so I brought that. But it's a Team Spirit. And real quick, I want to ask, what's the favorite high school in Crossroad? Okay? And before you answer that, I know what Coach Knight is going to say. He's going to say Heritage. All right? So I already know that. Okay, so, but we also have EC Glass. We've got Jefferson Forest because we got a lot of members from all of the counties. So I'm going to ask you, by show of hands, how many say Heritage is the favorite team? All right, coach name already. We got about, all right, yeah, it's okay. We got about eight hands that went up. EC Glass. All right, we got a couple of Glass. All right, five, six. Okay, so Heritage is eight, six, four. EC Glass. What about Rustburg? Uh-oh. Coach, I'm sorry. Rustburg looked like we got most of. All right, now, what about, we also have Alta Vista. Got a couple. Wow. Okay, all right. Well, we're getting to Brookville. All right, Alta Vista had about 10 or 12, so they're close to Rustburg. Okay, Brookville. Oh, okay. Give a hand for Brookville. All right. The youth will be sharing later on this morning as we talk about Team Spirit and how that, belonging to something, supporting something, believing in something means a lot. And I'm glad that my friend Larry James is here because, Larry, you will not believe this, but I have on blue shoes. Okay? Just wanted you to know that. Amen. As we direct our attention to God's Word, I want to share with you, as we've been talking for several Sundays, about the gospel, the good news of sacrificing. Whenever you think about sacrificing, we often think about struggling or either giving something that we really can't afford, and that's good. But we often think about giving up, and we don't really think about the benefit that's going to come as we give unto the Lord. So we've been exploring that. We've been looking at that. Good to see Gloria. Hey, Gloria. Everybody say, hey, Gloria. Gloria is here in the building. Amen. Amen. All the way from Alabama. All right. It's good to see her today. So I'm going to share with you today from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, and verses 8 and 9 is where we find our scriptures for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. For this thing I besought the Lord three times or thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. From these verses, we want to share with you just a few thoughts on the subject, when God says no. When God says no. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for your amazing love and your grace that is so sufficient for our needs. I pray that you would speak through me as I've studied and sought your will concerning this message, that you would now allow me to empty out and to share into the hearts of these your people the good news, the gospel. Even as we struggle and go through the circumstances in life, I pray that they would find refuge in your grace. We thank you and we worship you. Change us by what we hear, and we pray that you change us for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. In the emails, we will get these notices that says no reply, which means you don't have to respond to it. But in life, we get these circumstances where the answer is no. And that's the reply to our situation, to our circumstance, or to our problem that we're facing. We find it not too difficult to accept the acceptance of no from people. But when that no comes from God, we take issue with that. Why can't God bless me? Why can't God give me what I need? Why can't God answer my prayer? How many of you have ever had circumstances or situations in your life that you prayed about something and God said no? I want to help you with that struggle today, because we find out that God has a plan. It's his perfect will to work out things for your good and for you to become not only blessed but transformed by the power of God. What we've got to learn is no is okay when God says it. It's really okay. It's all right for God to say no. And then as we live out his will, and I want you to be aware of something, God doesn't have to explain things to you, but as we live out and through his will, then you will find out why he said no. Did I miss somebody on the turn? You've got to live it out. You don't always understand everything ahead of time. When he says no, sometimes we want to stop and say, this is as far as I'm going, because God has said no. His no never means stop moving forward in your faith. Everybody with me so far? So as we look at this, we're going to find out several instances in the Bible where God said to his people, no. Now, I expect God to say no if I'm unrighteous, or if I choose something that is against his will, I expect him to say no. As a matter of fact, he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, and he has every right to have his way in my life. And are we right? Are we okay with that? Amen. After all, he is God. I cannot dictate to him what he does. I can make a request to him for what I would need him and would want him to do in my life. So if we look at this, we think about God's grace. Where does that fit into this no that we're going to get from God? Where does God's grace fit in? And we've made a note here that God's grace is revealed to those in need to demonstrate God's power and his glory over all things. Look at this, including our times of suffering. You notice a couple of things: God's grace, God's power, and God's glory. All of that's interconnected. You can't remove them from God. As a matter of fact, we shared with you on last year many sermons that we talked about, things are always done by God's grace and for God's glory. We're okay with that. Sometimes we struggle when we go to God, as Paul did, and we will find that out in a few minutes. He said, I've got this thorn, this situation that's bothering me. It's a thorn in my flesh. I believe, God, that it's right for this thorn to be removed. The Apostle Paul stated his case.
He wanted to do things to honor God and live for God's glory. And God said, no. No. He said, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't get this right. Let me go to God one more time. He went to God three times, praying about the same thing, and God said no. Moses, all right, had worked and labored for God for 40 years, leading his people out of Egypt to the promised land. And when Moses said, God, can I go in with them? God said, no. How am I to accept God's no? And the answer is by grace. Everybody say by grace. Okay, so you've got to have God's grace in order to experience God's power and his goodness, especially in times of suffering. Just for a show of hands, how many of you suffered from sickness? Had some situations going on in your body? How many of you suffered from financial difficulties? How many of you suffered from loved ones or relatives that you expected one thing and something else happened? All right, so we're familiar with suffering. How many of you have agonized over personal problems that you had in your life? Nobody was to blame, but you were struggling with it and you suffered with it, right? Amen. You got on your knees and you prayed, God, deliver me from this. And God said, no. What do you do when God says no? Well, you can't give up because giving up is not an option to faith. Faith demands that we move forward. Faith demands that you trust God regardless of what you're going through. You say, but preacher, wait a minute. That's so hard to do. That's so difficult to do. How in the world am I going to move forward when I feel like giving up? How many of y'all ever felt like giving up? Yeah, I did last week too. You know what? I'm just going to do something else and just be content with that. And you can't. Why? Because God has said, no, don't do that. Let's consider some situations where God said no. He said no to King David. Just to be brief about it, King David went before God. He's God's man, right? He has prayed. He sought God. He's been God's warrior. And now he's God's king. He's been able to go out and gain the victory through battle, all of these struggles. He's been able to succeed with it. He's a man after God's own heart. So King David prays, and he said, you know what, Prophet Nathan, I feel that God wants me to build him a temple for his name. Now, who wouldn't want to build a church or a temple or a place where you can worship God? Who wouldn't want that? He goes to God with this request and said, God, I've got this request, and Nathan, the prophet, has said it's okay, but then God sent a word to Nathan and said, go back and you tell my servant David no. Well, wait a minute, God, maybe you didn't hear me right. And God said, no, you're not the one to do it. You're not the one to build this temple because you've got blood on your hands. You've been in many battles and you've got blood on your hands. I need a man of peace. And so Solomon would be the one who built the temple, not David. But God answered David with a grace answer. He said, now, because this was in your heart, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to say a no to your request, but I'm going to say a yes to your grace. My no is you can't build the temple, but my yes is I'm gonna bless your children. As a matter of fact, if they love me and if they seek me like you did, you will not miss having a son to sit on the throne of Israel. God said, now, I'm going to answer no to what you asked me for, but my grace is going to give you something that you didn't ask for. And matter of fact, the Bible said that David was glad. He even went to the temple and worshiped God because here it was that he asked for one thing and God gave him more than what he asked for. Did y'all get that? So when you think about grace and you think about the no reply, remember that he says no, But he's going to always answer you by his grace and for his glory. We're still there. The second request, of course, comes through Paul, and we've shared with you a little bit about that. But Paul had was going about on his missions, sharing God's word, and really was the missionary to what we call the Gentiles. He was sent as the apostle to the Gentiles and building churches, establishing things for God. And it would seem that you wouldn't want to have all of these barriers in your way. Everywhere Paul went, he was being persecuted. Now, we don't know what his real thorn was, but we do know the impact of the thorn is that it was keeping him from doing everything he wanted to do. How many of you all are praying prayers like, Lord, help me stay young? I can do more. I can tell you right now, no need of asking that question because you're going to get old if you stay here. Are y'all still here? So he asked God, Lord, help me. I've got this thorn in my flesh. And God answered him back, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take away your thorn. Because the thorn is really going to activate my grace. Wait a minute, preacher. I missed something on that. I did too. Here's the point. If you never knew your weakness, you would never discover God's power. If you didn't know how much you needed God, I doubt if you would pray very much to receive something from God. This life that you're living is not about you flexing your muscles and showing and proving to everybody how strong you are. That's fake. Because the strength does not come from you and me. The strength comes from God Almighty. Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens. As you go through life, you go through this thing where you're emptying out. You're always giving, always helping. And then when trouble comes, you look for everybody to help you. But how many of you had times that everybody didn't show up? One, maybe they didn't know. Two, maybe they just care. They didn't care about it, all right? So you're going through this time and you're getting bitter. Did you hear that? You're getting bitter. Because there's no one to come through the rescue. So you wanna get your own cape right and put your own mask on, and here you come to save the day. But you discover one thing, that the thorn has made you weak. You can't do what you thought you could do. Now, before you label yourself a failure, listen to what God says to you in that moment. Through your weakness, my power is made manifested. When you are saying, I can't go any further, here I come to save your day. Here I come to step into your circumstance and to let you know that I'm God. Remember Job? Remember, Job wanted God to show up and explain to him, why am I going through this? Why won't you answer me? Why won't you get me out of this? And God came to Job and said, Job, I don't owe you an answer. But what I will give you is my presence. I will come and I will help you. I will strengthen you where you're weak. Now, look at what Paul says. When this happened in his life, he was so glad to hear from God that he forgot all about his thorn. So when your life is infused with God's grace, you can forget about your thorn. People say, well, I thought you were limping yesterday. I was limping, but I'm still walking. I thought things were going wrong yesterday. They're still going wrong, but today I'm happy. I thought that life was confusing. Yeah, it was, and sometimes it still is. But if I know I've got a way maker, if I know I've got a burden bearer, if I know I've got a friend, even when God says no, it's all right because I know he's going to give me something else. God's grace. Paul discovered it. He said, God's grace is sufficient. Why did Paul write this letter? Why did he include? He didn't have to include this personal experience. But he included it because it was divinely inspired to help you centuries later go through the stuff that's in your life. Right? You label stuff, you know. Most trash we can take to the dump. Right? Most trash, like we used to do in the old day, you get a barrel and you just go out back and you just burn it, right? Most trash we can get rid of. How do you get rid of the trash on the inside and the trash that's being thrown on you except by grace? Amen. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Now, what does that word sufficient mean? What does that word sufficient really mean? It doesn't mean that it's just enough. That's not the way you interpret this word, sufficient. It doesn't mean that, okay, it'll do. You know, when you go and you want a new car, but you find out that your credit and your money can only afford this car versus the one you wanted, right? You wanted one with dual exhaust and all of the bells and whistles. This one, the only thing you got is a horn that says beep. Sufficient doesn't mean I'm just going to give you enough. As a matter of fact, it means the opposite. It means God's grace is more than enough. Psalm 23 says, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God said no to David, God said no to Paul, and then God said no to Jesus? Wait a minute. He's the Son of God. He's righteous. Why would God say no to Jesus? Was Jesus praying something that wasn't right? That's impossible. Because he could not sin. There was no sin in him. So why is God telling Jesus no? First of all, let me give you where he tells Jesus no. It's in Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus is praying, Father, if it's your will to let this cup pass from me. But then, because he has divine wisdom, he says, nevertheless. He answered his own prayer request. Isn't that something when you're in prayer and then the Holy Spirit tells you this is the answer? And you begin to say the answer through your own lips because you know what God wants you to do. When you feel like giving up, when you're saying this is it, you know deep down in your heart what God wants you to do. What was Jesus praying about? It wasn't the cross. It wasn't the physical pain. It wasn't the insults, because he knew he had to go through with that. It wasn't the fact that he would bear the sins of the world, because he knew that's why he came in the first place. So what was Jesus praying about, and why would God tell him no? On that cross, Jesus would do something that he would dread so much. And he didn't want any other human being to face that. He would be separated from his Father. And he says, if there's any other way to do this, I'll go along with everything else, but being separated from you, we've been in perfect fellowship. And the Father said no. And he that knew no sin was made sin for us. In other words, he took my sin upon himself so that I could have fellowship with God. You could have fellowship with God. God said no to Jesus so he could say yes to you. Am I a child of God? Yes. Does God love me? Yes. Is he for me? Yes. Because Jesus took your no. He took it upon himself. The righteous one, the holy God, became sin. I've got to stop preaching, even though I don't want to, but we're in Sunday school time. But let me just wrap this thing up. Let me just share with you a few things. So what is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Did you get that? Every time you go through the grocery store and there'd be somebody to pay your grocery bill, wouldn't that be neat? But let me tell you something. No, it ain't gonna happen. Every time you go to buy clothes, wouldn't it be neat if somebody said, hey, listen, just get it whatever you want, I'll pay for it. Is that gonna happen? No. You gotta work for that. But one thing you don't have to work for is grace. God's riches at the expense of Christ. So when you think about that, when we hear God say no, God is really saying, I'm going to give you something better. His no means you didn't ask for what I wanted to give you. So I'm going to give you something better, but I'm not going to give you. Let me just stop right there. I'm glad he didn't give me what I deserved. People get on their knees and say, God, give me what I deserve. Oh, no. I don't want that, and neither do you. Because if he gave you what you truly deserve, Lord have mercy. I don't know how many ways you could be destroyed. But thank God for grace early this morning. Thank God for his goodness early this morning. Thank God for his mercy. And you know what? Goodness, which is grace, and mercy, you know what they do? They follow you around. So that you could know the wonderful, wonderful power of God Almighty. I got to close this. Gary's looking at me. He's wanting to start Sunday school. So abundance of grace, it means that one, it is always good. Everybody say it's always good. Always. When you get up tomorrow, will it still be good? Yes. When the next day after that on Tuesday, will it still be good? Yes. What about next year this time? Will it still be? Yes, because it's always good. The second thing about God's grace, it always works. And it's always at work. I don't have to worry about it being at this level or at another level where it can't sustain me, because grace is always at work. And then the last thing about God's grace, God says no through his grace to give you a better yes. I heard a Southern gospel song that said, and it went through the routine of where it says, where God says no in your life, and it's always for a better yes. A better yes. A yes that says, I want you in my will. A yes that says, I want to teach you through your struggle. A yes that says, I love you despite the fact that you're weak. I love you enough to pick you up. I love you enough that when you can't carry yourself, I will carry you. How? By my grace. When you get to heaven, there'll be no boasting about crowns. There'll be no people that said, I'm here for my award. When you get to heaven, it will be by grace. Amen. And when you get your reward, it will all be by God's grace. At that moment, God will share with you and with me the final yes, and that is, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. But wait a minute, God, I got weak, but my grace didn't get weak. What you thought you couldn't do, I did do, because it was through grace. Give the Lord a hand today. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for saying no. Thank you for saying no. Because we know it was for a better yes. It was for us to understand your will and for us to know how much we need you. I thank you so much for grace today. Continue to help us. We want to grow. And yes, we're going to have some thorns, but may those thorns never prevent us from being genuine and devoted to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. We're going to give the invitation, if there be one today. Ask that we all stand. If you've never accepted God's grace into your heart and life and you're not a member of a church, we invite you to become part of our church. Part of our fellowship here.
We ask that you remain standing as we prepare to give our gifts and honor God with our giving. We're going to ask the officers to come forward as we prepare to give.
Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we come once again trying to turn these thanks for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Yes. Father, first of all, we want to thank you for watching over us all night long. Yes. Touch us with the finger of love. Start us out on a brand new day. A day we've never seen before and surely we'll never see again. Father, we ask you to continue to teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Yes. Father, continue to help us to walk up the straight and narrow way. Give us more strength, Father, how to suit and serve thee more and more every day and every hour. We want to thank you now, Father, for allowing us to come this morning to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with.
Yes,
and we want to bless the ones, Father, that have it to give, the one that have it not. These and all other blessings we ask in Jesus' precious name. For his sake we pray. Amen.
Before we close, we want to share with you that Sunday school is happening right now. So we invite you to share the next at least half hour or 35 minutes with them in Sunday school. It would be based on Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And the question is this: how can each one of us obtain the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in our lives? That peace that allows us to rejoice in all circumstances. So Sunday school will be the place where that will be discussed. Also, we will be participating in the Virginia 10 Miler. That's going to be on the 28th of September. And that'll be a celebration as we get out there and we have on our Crossroad Team t-shirts. And I'm not running the 10 Miler. I'm running the 4. But anyway, we'll be out there participating. Also, the Legacy Museum will be celebrating their 20th annual dinner, and this celebration will be held at the Prayer of Faith Temple, and that'll be at 3100 Hill Street in Lynchburg. It'll be the recognition of many of the area high school coaches, and one of them we know, Brother Rufus Knight. Amen. So that'll be, others will be Michael Bennett, Gary Ferguson, and Carol Bradley. They will be honorees as well. Well, it's been a great Sunday. We thank you all for coming out this morning. We invite you to join us for Sunday school. But as always, take God's word with you that it might be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. May we all stand.
Father, we thank you for speaking so clearly to our hearts and encouraging us in these troublous times in which we live. And a lot of us are having to live with thorns. But God, we can live with a thorn as long as we know there's a rose in our life. And that rose is the rose of Sharon. That rose is the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us to live for his glory and that we would experience his grace each and every day of our lives. Now may the grace of God, may the love of Jesus, and may the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in our hearts, both now and forever. Let us all say together, Amen.